You might like to turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 4 for a moment, please. Revelation chapter 4. Perhaps we can open in a word of prayer. Our Lord and God, we thank you for your word. Spirit of God, we thank you for yourself, for your ministry to us, which is indispensable. Spirit of God, honor our Lord Jesus Christ, honor your word, and God, cause us to be able to have understanding, that we might be able to proceed forward, to stand, to withstand. God, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together in Revelation 4 and 5 as we did those chapters. And going back to verse 11, chapter 4, remember the throne room, God on the throne, God the Father on the throne, thou art worthy, verse 11, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Reason, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So everything, anywhere that exists, God has made it possible and made it happen. We share together in a process of doing this. We share together that before the beginning, and we looked at before there was anything, anywhere, anyhow, including angels, and we looked in before forever began. And we saw the beginning, before the beginning, God in his magnificence, infinite person, and nothing else except God. Then we share together in the process, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. And we share that together. In the beginning, God had a beginning for us. And if you like, would you go over there, please? To Genesis chapter 1 again. God created it all, and it has a beginning. But before the beginning is God, always God. And keeping in mind, we share together verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And there is no the, just beginning. A simple, factual, declarative statement. It doesn't tell you which are the beginnings before the beginnings. No, just this beginning. To say it in a word, an English way, that not only the, don't say the, dog barked. We know nothing else except dog barked. Finite, small, immediate, independent. Dog barked. Beginning. There could have been 10 beginnings before it or after it. Immaterial. This beginning. And thus, in the beginning, God did something he created. In this beginning, this starting up, to commence. In the beginning, God displayed his wonderful person and power. And thus God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens. And remember now, remember the heavens. God in the third heaven, that's where God is. And then there's the second heaven up there and the stratosphere and stuff and is our atmosphere and all of that. And in the process, you know, God did all that. And he did it in the latest estimates of things, 125 billion galaxies, 306 trillion stars. That's a 3 with 23 zeros after it. Or 3 trillion times 100 billion. That's the next budget coming up. 3 trillion times 100 billion stars. Now, God created. God created it. And the earth was, the earth was. The center point of it is nothing, God, and then earth hanging out there in space. And here's the earth. And the earth was. Now, in order to appreciate this, what God does and why he does it ever so wonderfully. You know, God, why are you going to do what you're going to do in the beginning? In the beginning, you're going to do this in the beginning. You're going to create out of nothing, as it were, because there is nothing. God, you're going to create something. That's right. I'm going to make it happen. Now, what's going to help me with what we're going to look at? I would remind you in Job 38, verse 7, you'll have to turn there. In Job 38, verse 7, remember the test in Job 38, is God gives Job 100 questions that he can't answer to humble Job. So Job doesn't sit there and say, I know something. When God's done with 100 questions, God, we don't know anything. You're right. Were you there, Job, when I formed and set the earth in the middle of myself? Were you there? No. I want you to know who was there, though. The angels were there. The sons of God, the morning stars, the angels were there. The angels were there. Is that interesting? Yes. God, why do you tell us that? Because it's important. What is the whole purpose of the creation? To have a message about the marvelousness of God's person, character, and conduct. In the light of the angels' fall, Lucifer, son of the morning, the angels fell. Here's the good angels and the bad angels, and they're all looking. They're all looking. What are they going to see? God, what are you going to do to demonstrate your magnificence? And angels are creatures that are, wow. Angels are something else, you know. We're humans. We're less than angels. But angels are something else. We have an advantage over angels, but angels have a huge advantage over us, especially at the moment. I mean, there's something else. One angel can ruin a country, let alone, wow. So here, God, angels are looking. What are they looking at? What are they going to see, God? How are you going to demonstrate your magnificence? Ready? Verse 2. The earth was. And just to make, again, not that you need it, the earth did not become what it is. Because it's the verb is in the perfect, imperfect, but this is perfect. And when a verb is in the perfect, it means something singular, a whole, the singular, the whole, finished, and the word certain. It's a certain thing, a certain fact, a certain truth. There's no beginning to it. It's a finished thing, perfect, finished, done, was, not it became. The earth didn't become bad. God started with it. The material he started with. The angels are all looking. Are we going to start off with glorious things? No. No, on the contrary, we're not going to do that. We're going to start off with nothing. And the angels are all looking. What on earth could ever come out of this? Ah. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you have three clauses, set of circumstances, conditions, which existed when God did this. God put the material out, he put his paints out, had them all ready, the canvas was there, and he put his paints out, and he started, said, here's what I'm going to start with. What I'm going to paint, what I'm going to put forth. Thus, and the earth was without form. Three of them. The three come together. They're going to describe for you. What is it like? What did God start with? Verse 2. The earth was without form. And without form, formlessness, confusion, emptiness, desolation, nothingness, a waste. Unconnected, without any form again. There's nothing, there's no regularity to it. It's just there, a mess. Nothing to it. And the word that ties right together with it for emphasis and intensity is the word dark, without form, and void. Void is the word we're looking at. And again, emptiness, wastelessness, hollow, empty, full of air. Nothing at all. All confused, disconnected, disorganized, a nothing in space. Ruined, nothing. And to boot, here it is out there, nothing. What do you see? I don't see anything. Can you describe it? It's without form and void. It has no organization. It has no connection. It has no purpose. No fulfillment. And to add to that, and darkness, the opposite of light, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word face, remember, surface, the surface. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, the abyss, the abyss. So here is this, here's this subject matter down here. And surrounding this disorientated ball is darkness. Surrounding it, encompassing it. Wow. Nothingness. And then you surround it with darkness. Wow. Now, having said that, hold your finger here and go over with me to Proverbs 8 again. Proverbs chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wisdom of God, is personified and made alive. And I just wanted to, we read it last time, I just want to note it again in the light of what we're doing. Proverbs chapter 8, and picking up, please, in verse, looking now at wisdom. And it's going to describe it. What is it? What are you like, wisdom? Well, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. There was no earth. I'm always there. The Son of God, I'm always there. Wisdom. When there were no depths, the deep things, depth, no deeps. I was brought forth when there was no fountains abounding with water. There wasn't any. Verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass to make a circle to enclose upon or on the face of the earth. Wow, he circled it, he encompassed it. I was there when he covered it. Verse 28. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. I was there when all this, back over if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. God said, I was there. The Son of God said, I was there. I was there when he hung that dust out. I was out there when he covered it with darkness, completely surrounded in darkness. Darkness. Wow. And I was there. And all the angels were there. The good guys and the bad guys. They're all looking. They all say, here's God in his magnificence. They know that. That's right. The good guys know it in a good way, and the bad guys know it in a sad way. They know it. God, and then they look at themselves, and they look at that ball of dust. Wow. Therefore, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the abyss, the water, waters covered with darkness. See? Now, And you'll notice, and the third item, clause, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God move upon this surface, the abyss of water, this ocean, this ball of water covered in darkness. And thus, verse 2, the Spirit of God moved, hovered, to move to and fro, to move tremblingly, moving up and down, trembling, moving, quaking, with excitement. The tense, is mean to do something, roll up your sleeves, and to do it with great gusto, with great movement. It isn't some passive oh-hum. No, it's with great excitement God moves. He moves. The Spirit of God moved to and fro. He quaked, he trembled, he quivered with excitement upon the face of the waters, upon the surface. He moved. What are you going to do with this ball, water and darkness? What are you going to do with it? Angels are all looking. They're looking. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember it means to move, to hover, to protect, to cherish. Now, a quickening, a brooding, a imparting power, moving power. It is used of the Spirit of God in Luke 1:35, where, I think it's there, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, moved, hovered over the Virgin Mary and made a baby. He moved and created a baby. Wow. So, here we are looking, the Spirit of God taking this ball. Wow, that's what he's going to do. And would you go with me, please, over to Deuteronomy chapter 32 to pick up a word just to remind us, refresh our memory of the word and the work. And you would remind yourself in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and in verse 11, remember, 32:11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young. There's your word, to flutter, to move to and fro with excitement. And remember now, here's the little eaglets up there on the edge of the cliff, and they've been very comfy, born there. That's their little home in that nest, and they're all sitting there waiting for food to come. They had a great, comfortable life. All of a sudden, it's no more comfortable. It's time to grow up. It's time to move. It's time to get with it. And the little eaglets booted out, perhaps, of their nest. Over they go. Down they go. And they discover they had these things in the end. Wings. And they flap them. And they may flap them good, and they may not flap them good. And the eagle, mother eagle, will come down and get under them and bring them back up. And do it again till the eagle learns to fly, fluttereth, moves with excitement to get the little eaglets to fly, to be eagles, soaring into the heights. So, verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And God took, verse 13, and he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty ground. God, you would do this for Israel? That's right, God. As an eagle would do it for its little ones, I will do it for my little nation. I will do it for them. I will do it. Now, do it again, because the nation didn't do well. It had a wonderful opportunity, but didn't do well. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And remember, Jeremiah is looking at, in Jerusalem, looking at the Nebuchadnezzar and the temple burning down, going down, the city going to ruins. Now, Jeremiah, tell me how you're doing. Chapter 23, verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. There's your verb, to flutter, to brood, to hover, to move to and fro, to shake. What's happening, Jeremiah? My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones are shaking. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. God, what are you going to do? Well, the land is full of idolatry, verse 10, adulterous. And because of swearing, the land mourneth, and pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Verse 12, wherefore their way shall be unto them as the slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Jeremiah, what is it? You're looking at the collapse, the excitement, the movement with quick vibration. What is happening? Look at Israel. It's trouble. It's turmoil. It's anguish. That's right. You're shaking. Can anything come out of this? Nebuchadnezzar, fire, Jerusalem, temple down. Is anything ever going to come? Jeremiah is shaking. Well, there's someone else besides you shaking, Jeremiah. You see what's happening in the world, Jeremiah, to Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, by the people of Israel, the remnant, little group of believers that are saved, and the great group of people that aren't saved. You're looking at the mess. The crisis, the conditions. God said, you only see a little bit. You should see what I see when I look at them. When I look at the world, you say, wow. God said, you should see when I look at the world. What do I see? And you think it's hopeless and chaotic. And you tremble because this can't do anything. God said, if you could see it as I do, what would you do? You and I see little bits of things that aren't right, or we think we understand. If you could see it even here, as God does, wow. Yeah. Now, having said that, back over if you would. Oh, on your way back, to stop at Isaiah. Isaiah, you're right nearby. In Isaiah, remember the darkness was upon the face of the deep. In Isaiah chapter 45, reminding us, I form, verse 7, God tells you, here's the word create, as you have in Genesis 1:1, same verb. I form the light and create darkness, I do. I make peace and create, there's your verb, evil. And remember we said this is not moral evil, because God will not do that. God allows freedom of choice. He made us humans with a choice. I will, like God has, we make a choice. And if we make a negative choice, like the devil, Lucifer, son of the morning, already did, the consequences are not very good. They're bad. I create evil, mischief, trouble, anguish. The consequences of leaving me out of the picture. And I create that. I make it possible to exist. Looks like I have darkness and water, and nothingness. I make it exist. Thus, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Verse 18,
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That's why we're on it. I am the Lord, and there is none else, none other. Isaiah 46, and in verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, in the beginning, God. Declaring the end. I started it, and I'm going to finish it. I have a purpose in it all. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, old times, the things that are not yet done. They don't even exist. Saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. God, everything is created by you, for you, for you to be honored and glorified, for you to be discovered, for you, for us, for the world, for creation to discover and reflect your wonderful person. That's what it's all about. That's right. Now, over to Psalm 18 on your way back. Psalm 18. In Psalm 18 and in verse 11, if you would. And you'll pick up, please, Psalm 18 and verse 11. He made darkness his secret place, said David. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. God, you use darkness, that's right. I do. I do use darkness. I use it. I am darkness. There's no difference to me, darkness or light, but I use it. I use it. What does darkness do? It helps you understand light. If you never had dark, how would you know what light is? How would you know what it is if you never had light? A darkness. You have to have darkness. Got to have it. Hot, cold, plus, minus, good, bad, right, wrong. Got to have darkness in order to see, to contrast. Hate, love. You got to have it. That's how it brings itself out. What are you going to do, God? And here's this ball of darkness. I'm going to go and do something marvelous. I'm going to do it. I'm going to the Spirit of God's ministry, serving the will of God, is going to go and brood and move with excitement over this ball of water and darkness. That's right. And everyone's looking to say, hey, what can come out of this? Now, back over, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And picking up, please. Genesis in chapter 1. And you will note, in the word, verb, verse 2, 1 and verse 2, and God moved. He moved. He moved intensively. He busied himself most eagerly over what he was doing, over the face of the waters. He continued to do so. He continued. It's a participle. He kept doing it. He was busy. He didn't quit. He kept doing it. To move with excitement, quivering excitement to and fro. God did that. And thus, what are you doing, God? Well, I'm looking. I'm looking to make something happen. Something wonderful. I'm going to make it happen. Now, and I'm going to do it. Now, in order to get that, I want you to take, and if you would, turn your Genesis, just hold right next door. Turn over to Genesis 2 and in verse 7. 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, out of the dust of the ground. Over to chapter 3, you would remember. Adam is to discover because of his sin. He was magnificent. But sin made him realize how he was made from the dust of the ground. Now, and thus, well, before I have it, I have different bags. This was red once, so pretty good. It changed color over the years. And this is from down south. Someone found it when they were out in the highways and byways, and they're looking for red earth, because that's what the ground means, red earth, red earth, red earth. And there's places where it really is there, red earth. Well, this was that. Like, you never know it. But I want you to know, if I put this on your teaspoon for lunch, I want you to tell me how excited you are to consume it. Would you? Maybe with some ketchup? Dust. Nothing. Nothing. God took nothing and put it together, and the angel looked, and God made this. Not only, this isn't it. Sun, moon, flowers! Yeah, oh, they're marvelous. Animals! Laws, science, wow, rules, regulations of the universe. That's right. What's more and more? The remarkable remarkableness that God made you and me from this dust. He made you from this dust. And Adam and Eve, if they had never sinned, they would have a... They wouldn't even remember they were dust. They wouldn't even know they were dust, ever. But because of sin, we are very conscious we have dust. And thus Genesis 3 and 19. 3 and 19, the curse. Verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And it's awful hard to get excited about being human in God's kind of way. Because without God, we're trying to make our life, our home, our work, our job, the sweat coming and going, and the problems, we're trying to make it glorious. It's awful hard, isn't it? You have a good day, and then a bad day. A bad week, a good day, and you feel great, and then you feel terrible. Wow. God, you gave us a remarkable body from this stuff. And when the angels looked at what God did, when he created from this ball of water and darkness, they had to say, wow. Because remember, on the fourth day, whatever, that's when God put the stars out there. Billions of them. Billions of galaxies. Trillions of them. So you can never count them. You don't have enough lifetimes and enough Hubbles and telescopes. You couldn't possibly. I don't even know how they do it. I'd like to sit with somebody that figured out how we have 125 billion galaxies. I would like to get that. There's a galaxy out in the end of the Big Dipper, isn't there? Isn't that it? The end of the Big Dipper, the last star in the Big Dipper, is a galaxy. Now, don't hold me to that. I haven't been there. You know. Well, that's what I think I read. I don't know. I look up. It looks like a little old star to me. A galaxy. God, you did that for us. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Spirit of God brooded, moved, hovered on this, and made it this, and made us this. That's right. Wow. God, I'm impressed. The angels are impressed. That's why right now, Ephesians 3:10 and that, they're watching assemblies like this, believers across the world, hither and yon, looking to see the wisdom of God in his working, to take vessels of dust, and to show his wisdom in what he does. With nothings. I'm something. No, the Lord will tell you more than once, won't he? Galatians, etc. If you think you are something when you are what? Nothing. You are a fool. You are a fool. We're something. Who said we're something? We're just dust. That's all. And we're reminded of it. We're reminded of it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God, you're wonderful working. Now, and the angel's looking. Go with me, please, over in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. May I remind you, try to do it in a way that helps. John chapter 5. God, what you've done is something else. I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. All you've got to do is, if you don't believe it, is the easiest thing to do is, if you have an animal, you don't have to dig up corpses in a cemetery, but if you have an animal or such, and the old-fashioned way is, you didn't send it to the animal morgue and pay $5,000 to be able to come and hear special music played for your dog that died. No, you take your dog and bury your dog. Bury your dog or sell parts to the dog factory for a transplant. Whatever you got. You got your dog. And you take it down in the ground and leave it there for a little bit. Leave it open. Put it in a little box so you can collect the pieces. We do the same thing. Oh, what a wonderful thought. We do, and you know what it comes out to when you're all done if you wait long enough? It's just us, you know. You say, no, not dust. Listen, I'll say it carefully. There's such a thing as cremation. And I had the privilege once of being in a crematory where they did that. They had just built it. And the mortician, the fellow, said, I said, would you like to see this? I said, yeah. I said, wow, this is interesting. So I went in there, and you know what? You don't need to know all this stuff because you're only flesh and blood anyway. And flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So don't worry about it. When you go, this isn't going to go. But anyway, and you know what it is? You put in a little can, and you put it in a can, and it dust. Say, I'm not dust. Come out of the crematory and I'll show you. You're dust. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm somebody. Wrong. You are dust. I'm not, but you are. It's awful hard, isn't it? We don't want to say face that. You can't see the next newscaster saying, isn't it wonderful that God made us dust, and we came from dust, we are dust, we're going to dust. And he quotes that as the closing thought on his news broadcast. Can't you just hear him saying that? John chapter 5. Lord, our example, you know all these things. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. But for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And all I am is made of the dust of the ground, in the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Spirit of God, dust. A perfect human, that's right. Perfect person, that's right. I'm dust. And that's all I am. But you know, I'm made for God, and God created me for himself. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. And would you please note, if you would, verse 6, even a little better context. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts that were dark,
What do we
receive the Lord Jesus Christ for? That in our darkness we might have light. How are we going to have the light? He is the light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a ball of dust and water and darkness. And then there's God. That's marvelous. We're made of the dust of the ground. And then there's God. And that's marvelous. Angels, pay attention. Pay attention. Yeah. So, in the face of Jesus Christ, God made real to us. Verse 7. But we have this treasure, in earthen vessels of earth. Why couldn't you put us in platinum or gold or silver? No, earth. That's where you came from. And if you hadn't sinned, you would never understand how earthly you are. But you sinned, and you certainly know how earthly you are. Thus, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why is that? That the excellency to go above and beyond the scale, out of reach, that which is above and beyond, out of reach, superabounding, extraordinary, out of reach. That's right. To make it known that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God, take the ball. I will. Power. I'll take a human being. Power. And I'll make them a new creature in Christ. Power. Wow. And you sit and say, oh, there's no hope. If you just looked at my life. You could dress it up. Little makeup, beauty parlor. You know. A little bit of, add some condiments in here. And you know what? It's still what? Still dust. That's what it is. God, in the midst of the depths, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of our life, and we leave you out, we're left in the dark. We're left in the deep dark. God, what can you do? I want you to know that when you understand that I'm able to save you, I'm able to do for you what you couldn't possibly do. Our Lord Jesus said it rather succinctly to us, concisely. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do how much? Nothing. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to make something. You go ahead. Vanity, emptiness, fruitlessness. I'm going to make something of myself. Well, go ahead. And we'll bury it, what you make. And you will become dust in your physical body, dust. And you will have lost out on the marvelousness of what God has done. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the waters. Wow. Now, in over, if you would, please. On our way, let me do a couple of things. Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, may I give you a word of encouragement. Not that you need it, but encouragement. For you creatures of dust out there. Romans 4, you know God loves to do, obviously, he loves to do nothing and make it something. And that's what he did in creating. He put nothing, and then he put this dust and water and darkness out there. Nothing. God, here we are, vessels of dust. earthen vessels. Job would say, vessels of clay. That's all. Wow. God, what are you going to do?
I want you to know that I am looking for that vessel, that human heart, that boy or girl, man or woman, to understand what they are and to humble themselves and honor me. And I will do for them what is impossible without me. You couldn't do it. Ah, God said, that's just the thing I want to hear from you, to tell me I can't do it. To tell me I can't do something with nothing. Tell me that. Say it loud. Ah, but God, we shouldn't say that. No, because God loves the impossible. And that's why all the way he does things, so that he takes the foolish things of the world and makes himself look, he makes the foolish things of the, takes all the foolish things and makes them great, takes all the wise things and makes them stupid. Why? So that man will not boast in himself. Thus, Romans 4, verse 19, Abraham, being not weak in faith, but considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. You're not going to do much now, Abraham, nope. And yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, yep, she's right up there too. God, you waited. You waited 25 years. God, you could have done something a long time ago. We could have got an Isaac then. And you'd be ship-shaped to take care of him. Now you're 100 years old. What are you going to do to take care of a little baby, Sarah? Well, actually, God made Sarah, you know. Redid her body marvelously to do that. Now, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to do it. God, you do it. You said it. You do it, God. That's Mary. You said it. Do it. Isn't that easy? No, it isn't easy. Because we think we're more than this. So we don't trust God very much. We only trust God a little bit, because we're pretty good. You know, hands are good. And the way your hand shakes and you can't use your hand, can't use your feet, can't use them. Wow, we're getting weak. That's right. 20-year-old says, I'm never going to get weak. No. Listen, you're only a step away from becoming a weak. A little bug, a virus, a bacteria. And I don't care how strong you are, in one moment, you'd be down the tubes. True? So we slow down when we're thinking. Slow down and get a more appreciative, thoughtful. And thus God, you love the impossible. Right. So if you don't mind, I always wait till you run out of your solutions. Because as long as you want to keep putting your solutions in, I'll wait till you're done. See? And then there's my solution. I can do it. See? I take nothing. No one else can do it. I take nothing and make it something. And remember, if you were reading Jeremiah, we'll close with that. You know all these things. Jeremiah, God, what did you tell Israel to give them such hope? They didn't have it, but they're going to have it. They're going to have it. Jeremiah 18. 18, you know, Jeremiah goes down to the where they make pottery. And in verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Remember the wheel, turning the wheel, and you hold the pottery and you form it with your hands. And behold, verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred, faulty, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. God, is that what you're able to do? That's right. We just did it in Sunday school a little bit. Yeah, you sort of goof. That's all gone. Ah, it would be all gone, except for God. And God can make it again. Can't he? Can't he fill your heart with light and his love and joy Joy in the process? Joy in the product? Can he do that? Sure he could. And you get all worn out. Oh, I understand that. Everyone gets worn out trying to live a life. Trying to live a life, and it's harder and harder. If you don't turn on the news, you're probably all right. You know, for a little bit. But hey, wow. God, you can do that. Uh-huh. I can take nothing and do something. In fact, my whole history of my creative work is to take nothing and to demonstrate. It isn't the material. It's the God who takes the material and does something wonderful with it. So we give our whole heart to God, and God gives his whole heart to us, Jeremiah, so that we can have with all our heart all that is in God's heart for us. Isn't that pretty good? I think it's a good deal, don't you? I do. I'd like to pursue that with all my heart. I want to pursue that. You bet. Appreciate. God help you. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, you started it all for a wonderful reason, to glorify and make known your wonderful character and conduct. And all the angels, our God, are being impressed, not only with your creativity and power, they're impressed by your grace and mercy. They're impressed by your long before being angry. They are impressed by your judgment, your justice, your righteousness, your holiness. God, they are impressed. As you handle even such as us, oh God, vessels of clay, for your marvelous, marvelous work, we are dust for your deity, for you to be God in our little lives. God, thank you, thank you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convince them that they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to make them children, legitimate, real children that belong to you, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as our Savior. God, thank you for the Son who made it possible for us to be a Son. God, thank you. So deal with us, help us, Spirit of God, without which we have no help. We have no hope. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.